The Supreme Court declined Monday to review the case of the five jailed Cuban nationals, known as the Cuban Five. The men were convicted by a Miami jury in 2001 for being unregistered foreign agents spying on the U.S. military and Cuban exiles in southern Florida. All five are serving time in federal prisons across the country. Attorneys for the men say they weren't spying on the U.S., but trying to monitor violent right-wing Cuban exile groups that have organized attacks on Cuba. The Miami judge in the case refused to move the trial to an area less dominated by Cuban exiles. Lawyers for the five say the jury pool in Miami was biased. The Cuban Five trial was the only judicial proceeding in U.S. history condemned by the U.N. Human Rights Commission.
We go now to Havana, where we're joined on the telephone by Ricardo Alarcón, the president of the Cuban National Assembly. We welcome you to Democracy Now! Please start off by responding to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision.
Well, good morning, Amy and Juan and everybody listening there. I would say that it is a very sad decision that was taken. Remember that at the request of the U.S. administration, that in May, well after the new administration had assumed office, urged the Supreme Court to deny review. I would like to clarify one point. It is said that they were accused or found guilty of spying, seeking information on military installations and all that. But let's remember that what we were appealing or trying to review at the Supreme Court was the decision that had been affirmed by the Court of Appeals of the 11th Circuit in Atlanta, September 2008. That was a negative decision, unfair because it didn't end the whole process, but it also had some positive facts. In that determination, the Court of Appeals said five times that nothing involving the national security of the U.S. was involved in this case, that they didn't gather or transmitted secret information affecting U.S. national security. That is why the Court of Appeals decided to vacate the sentences of three of them and order a resentencing process, which is now probably the next step in this long, long case. But that means that after 10 years of discussions and appealings and so on, the unanimously a lower court, the Atlanta court, determined, recognized what we had been saying all along, that they were not doing anything against the U.S., that their only role was to penetrate terrorist groups that had been operating for many years from Miami against Cuba. And there are many, many, many evidences to that that I don't need.
Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Our guest is the president of the Cuban National Assembly. We're joined by Ricardo Alarcón. I wanted to ask you more broadly about U.S.-Cuba relations under President Obama. Speaking at the Summit of the Americas in Trinidad and Tobago, April, Obama called for a, quote, new beginning with Cuba and raised hopes for a thaw in U.S.-Cuba relations.
There's been several remarks directed at the issue of the relationship between the United States and Cuba. So let me address this. The United States seeks a new beginning with Cuba. I know there's a longer journey that must be traveled to overcome decades of mistrust. But there are critical steps we can take toward a new day. I've already changed a Cuba policy that I believe has failed to advance liberty or opportunity for the Cuban people. We will now allow Cuban Americans to visit the islands whenever they choose and provide resources to their families, the same way that so many people in my country send money back to their families in your countries to pay for everyday needs. Over the past 2 years, I've indicated, and I repeat today, that I'm prepared to have my administration engage with the Cuban government on a wide range of issues, from drugs, migration, and economic issues, to human rights, free speech, and democratic reform. Now, let me be clear, I'm not interested in talking just for the sake of talking, but I do believe that we can move U.S.-Cuban relations in a new direction.
That was President Obama at the Summit of the Americas. Ricardo Alarcón, you're president of the Cuban National Assembly. Your response?
Well, it's very important not to speak just for the sake of speaking. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. He didn't mention, by the way, among the list of issues that may be addressed in this process, terrorism. And more or less at the same time he was saying that in Trinidad and Tobago, he was urging the U.S. Supreme Court to this, not to consider, not to review the case of the five. He can prove that he doesn't have only words but deeds by exercising his authority. He can and should drop immediately the charges brought against the five. Atlanta already recognized that they were not entertaining any espionage activity. And the other important charge, the one referring to an alleged murder attempt by Gerardo Hernandez, was also recognized by the U.S. administration in a document unprecedented in American history, according to them, that they didn't have any evidence, that they couldn't demonstrate that charge. And as the court, that's years ago in the 2001, even to drop that charge. And well, the president could use those legal arguments, let's say, to exercise justice. He can put in jail Posada Carriles and the terrorists and free those who oppose their action. That would be a very concrete, simple step to demonstrate that what is coming from the White House are not just words. By the way, the only concrete thing that he promised was to eliminate the restrictions of for traveling by Cuban Americans. But if you go now, Emmy, to the U.S. official sources, you can visit in their website, you will see that the regulations are still as they were before. Then they haven't yet taken the necessary step. They talk about that, but still the regulations, if you read them as they are now today, are exactly as they were before.
Yes, Ricardo Alarcón, I'd like to ask you about the summit itself. Many people consider it a major shift in that the countries of Latin America for the first time rebuffed the United States and said that Cuba should join the OAS. But then apparently the Cuban government has rejected that offer. Could you talk about that?
Well, they knew and very well what was and is our position, that we will not join the OAS for many reasons that we have explained time and again. What they did was to eliminate an absurd resolution that the OAS passed in 1962, by which Cuba was excluded from participating in that organization because of our links with what they used to call in those days the China Soviet bloc. And then that doesn't exist anymore. That's good, because it's a way to correct history. But I think it's too late to even to think about joining an organization that is really rejected by the peoples in the continent, and that has not served any useful purpose, has been an instrument of the worst part of U.S. Policy in the area. We are in agreement with those in Latin America that are proposing the creation of a Latin American and Caribbean organization. And we are cooperating with them in many instances. We have a number of mechanisms of cooperation and integration in the area. But, like the Africans have their organization, the African Unity, in which the former colonial masters do not belong, the Latin American and Caribbean people should have their own, only for them, only for Latin American and Caribbean countries. And they understand that position. We appreciate, of course, the fact that everybody, with the exception of the U.S. and Canada, everybody in that conference repeated the same line of thinking that Cuba should not be excluded. As a matter of fact, Cuba has relations with everybody else except the United States. Those are facts that would be useful for the administration to discover and in order to learn that the world has changed.
Ricardo Alarcón,
also changed.
I'd like to ask you about something else. You were mentioning the former colonial masters. The Guantanamo naval base in Cuba, many consider it a residue of the old colonial period. The original lease for Guantanamo, the United States imposed on Cuba, 99-year lease at the beginning of the 20th century. What is the legal basis for the United States being in Cuba and having that naval base on your national territory?
The only basis for that is imperial arrogance. It was a treaty that was imposed upon the Cuban people before Cuba attained its formal independence. The Americans were occupying the island at that time, and they imposed as a condition to withdraw their troops two things. One, Cuba has to recognize and even include in their constitution the right of the U.S. to intervene in Cuban affairs, and Cuba had to lease some pieces of land for military bases. That was the origin of Guantanamo. That was modified during FDR. The right to intervention was dropped. But the basis was Guantanamo and others at that time were to remain until both parties agreed to something else. And the party that you know has refused to abandon that a piece of Cuban land due to arrogance. It doesn't make any sense to, and that was the origin of the scam of transforming it into a prison and all the stories that they are very well known around the world. But it's an issue that remains to be solved, remains to be addressed. It was not mentioned, by the way, in the list the president presented to the others attending Trinidad conference.
Ricardo Alarcón, the question of this couple, Walter Myers and his wife Gwendolyn, the former State Department analyst, and his wife being charged with spying for the Cuban government. They've pled not guilty to conspiracy and being agents of a foreign government and wire fraud. Your response?
Well, I know only what has been published in the press, and I read the indictment. It's interesting. In the indictment, they only mention one thing: an FBI agent said that they told him. Apart from that, this couple had a shortwave radio. I imagine that they are not the only Americans that have such a thing, and that they came to Cuba on one occasion, and also in the media it is mentioned a private diary of the lady in which she expressed certain sentiments about Cuba that are not only her sentiment. Many people also love Cuba and respect us. Apart from that, the real question to me is why, if they had known about those alleged activities for a number of years, they chose to publicize that precisely on the eve of the moment that the Supreme Court was going to deny the review of the Cuban Five case, as it was requested by the same administration that now is accusing this couple in New York.
Ricardo Alarcón, we're going to have to leave it there, but we thank you very much for being with us. Ricardo Alarcón, president of the Cuban National Assembly, joining us on the telephone from Havana.